Money 101 with Bob McCormick. The news you need and the information you can use. Now, here's Bob McCormick.
Every day, 10 to 2, we're here for you. I'm Bob McCormick. This is Money 101. Okay, I talked about my 95-year-old father. I even had him on the air on his birthday. But he has been driving me nuts. You know how cold it's been back in the Midwest and the East, and my dad in Michigan has seen some days where zero is the high for the day. Well, recently in this cold snap, his furnace has been going out, and he has had to have emergency repairs. People have come out at the last minute, thank goodness, and had fiddled with it, and then most recently put in a new thermostat at a cost of about $400. But guess what? It goes out again. And he calls. I'm talking to him at 8 o'clock his time. It's getting to be late. My sister lives a mile away. And I say, Dad, the furnace is not working. You got to go to Sharon's. He says, well, it's funny because it'll come back on without any warning. So I kind of like to wait and see what happens. But let me see what the temperature is going to be. Oh, my gosh, it's going to be 10 below. I said, Dad, get out of that house. My mother is 97. She is not going to freeze to death because you were too lazy to get out of the house and spend the night with the sister. All right. Anyway, I didn't. That's what I wanted to scream. I said it in a more calm way. And I know that elderly folks had their ways about them. He can easily afford a new furnace. And by the way, it's 27 years old. He can afford a new furnace. Why is he hesitant to do it? It brings me to the point where I have heard and I have advocated that people enjoy their money. Enjoy it. Hey, Dad, don't worry about me and Sharon. You enjoy your money and live comfortably. Now, I don't know whether it's just obstinance. He doesn't trust it. And by the way, he gets three quotes on everything. I've insisted on that, and he does follow the advice. And he did have a guy come out most recently to get this furnace up and running. It was another part that he inserted and did not charge Dad anything at all. And unless it works, and if it continues to work, then he'll bill them for the part. So very kind and trustworthy people are coming to my dad's house. I don't have a fear about that. We have good referrals. We make sure they're trustworthy. But my problem is, why in the heck doesn't he get a new furnace? I can't make him go out and spend the $6,000 to get the new furnace. And by the way, the air conditioning unit is tied in some way. And now I'm concerned as well about possible danger. So we bring in our home inspector, John Wilhelm, who, of course, looks at a furnace and a cooling system, the entire heating and cooling system in a house when he does an inspection. And what is the average life? Good day to you, John.
Good morning, Bob.
The average life of a furnace is how long?
You know, you can get a good 25 years out of a heating system. But from what I see, there's so many underlying conditions that can make a system go bad. It's not the system itself or the heater itself. A lot of times it's this thermostat that everybody puts in, these complicated high-tech electronic thermostat. The thermostat is the first thing that goes. If the thermostat doesn't work, if it's going haywire, if the batteries are dead, or if the backup is wrong, it's just not going to cycle properly.
Why do the heating systems have such complicated mechanisms, thermostats, for example? Now, we put in a new thermostat. We like what we paid for. We understood that it's the newest, the greatest, the technology. You're not a big fan.
I'm not. Number one, the reason people put in some of these electronic ones is so they can program it so it can come on, like, you know, an hour before you get home or half an hour before you get up in the morning. Personally, I don't like a system running in the house when I'm not home. So if you have a system that turns on before you get home and then you have to stop at the store and you forget, you get on the phone and you're home an hour and a half half later. You've got a system that's running in, you know, an hour and a half in the house unnecessarily. If the system is going to leak or malfunction, you know, a good chance it's going to do it when you're not home. So, you know, you don't want something running like that.
Bill on the line, Money 101 KFWB, Bob McCormick here with John Wilhelm. Hi, Bill.
Good morning. I have a similar situation as your father does, and I'm doing something illegal right now. I know I'm not supposed to. I had a repairman coming to my house. It's an old floor furnace, and they put in the control valve, the thermostat. They put in the pressure gauge or something, and a thermocoupler tube. And then 2 weeks later, I gave him over $400 to repair it. 2 weeks later, it goes out. Call the guy, never shows up. He gave me a year guarantee. I call him up to come fix it. Doesn't show up to take care of this. I says, that's it. So I went ahead and I bought propane tanks, and I'm using propane heaters. That's all I can do right now. And so I had it with it.
You're using propane heaters inside the house?
Yes.
Okay, that is not safe. Yeah, you need to stop doing that. Just turn off the heaters like now. Propane heater does not have a vent. You're getting carbon monoxide in the house, and you're going to kill somebody. So please turn off your propane heater, and do not use that inside the house. That is extremely dangerous, what you're doing.
Yeah, I know that, but what I do is that I'll heat up the house before I go to bed, and when I go to bed, turn all the heaters on.
I'm telling you, stop doing that. Do not use a propane heater in the house.
John,
that is extremely
John Wilhelm
dangerous.
Is not giving you a bunch of malarkey. He's got no horse in the race. He's trying to keep you safe, and I'm going to talk about the old furnaces and what can go wrong with them. So, Bill, please listen to him. But, by the way, I hope you're going after the guy that gave you the guarantee, at least in small claims or something, and you're making sure you go to Yelp.
Yeah, and real quick, you know, if you can get the most simple thermostat, I know the floor furnace that you have, those last, I've seen those last like 70 years. It's just unbelievable how long those last. I mean, the original homes have those in them, but it's the electronics that they try to convert over to. And the big problem is in California, they've outlawed the old mercury switches, you know, the old round dial for the thermostat that had a little mercury switch in it. Those were the most reliable. They had no electronics. There's no batteries. Those are the most simple system you can get, and now they're not legal in California, which to me is really silly. But you may consider going back to just a very, very simple thermostat instead of a complicated electronic one.
All right, we're going to continue our discussion about this. When has it become a danger? And plus, for those of you getting ready, look, the hot weather is going to be here soon enough, and we want you to make sure your air conditioning unit is ready. And how are the heating and the air conditioning units tied in? That's coming up with John Wilhelm, home inspector. 888-539-2980. You want a contribution or a question? 888-539-2980. This is Money 101 on KFWB News Talk 980. Every day, 10 till 2. Saving money for you in L.A. and Orange County. Coming up, that heating and air conditioning unit is one of the most expensive things you're going to have to buy for the house. How to make sure you're getting somebody trustworthy. We just had a caller say a thermostat was installed that he got a year guarantee. I mean, how do you enforce it? I think he calls the manufacturer. We'll get John's input on that coming up. Plus, horror stories from the trenches on homes that are not up to code, even if it's brand new construction. It's happening all over Southern California. John Wilhelm on what to look for. 888. 539-2980. I'm Bob McCormick. This is Money 101 on KFWB News Talk 980. This portion of Money 101 is sponsored by First Republic Bank.
Money 101 with Bob McCormick. The news you need and the information you can use. Now, here's Bob McCormick.
Coming up in 10 minutes, why most people are shocked about the damage and treatment every year in termite damage to their homes, how to recognize it, and when you need to call a professional. And there are different types of termites. John Wilhelm of Valley Home Inspection is here. HVAC systems, what you need to know about the installation, maintaining, when you need to replace it. Joe is in Van Nuys, Money 101, KFWB, Bob McCormick here with John. Hi, how you doing, Joe?
Fine. How you doing, Bob? And John, I have a question for you. My unit is 10 years old. It's built by Rheem, central air and heat. The circuit board got wet and was damaged. I went on the internet, located a company that does a new circuit board, but it's not made by Rheem. I put it in. I've never in my life done something like that. It's working wonderful. How long this thing is going to keep working?
Well, congratulations for doing your own work there. Let's hope it's up to standards.
Yeah, that's a good job that you're able to do that. I was going to suggest that you try to find the original part and have it waiting for the licensed heating contractor to put that in for you, and then it would have probably been $75 or $80, just a stop by, and he would have taken care of that within probably 20 minutes.
Right. The thing is, they don't make that circuit board anymore. So there's a company in Santa Ana, I found it on the internet, that makes a unit, a circuit board that takes over that.
Okay, so that's not working now?
No, it's working fine.
Okay. Then you're in good shape. You're in good
thank
shape.
Thank you. I thought so. I thought that this company is reputable. I located it on the internet, and the unit was the circuit board was $106.
Good deal. Good deal.
All right, good going. We love people when they're saving money. Now, we bought a house that had a Continental heater in it, which had to be replaced.
Consolidated. Right.
What was it with these consolidated? Are they still out there, by the way?
They are still out there. I just had one a few days ago, and actually we're arguing back and forth with the owner. The owner did a flip on this house, and it had a consolidated heater. It was actually one called Addison, but it was a consolidated firebox. And what somebody did, the consolidated fireboxes had what they call Knox rods. These are little rods that they put above the flame, and they were designed to put out less emissions. Yeah, and they're only designed in California. What somebody did on this particular heater is they went in and they just took the Knox rods out, which that's fine. That's the condition that was causing the overheating of the units. But the unit itself is on recall. And you can't just go in and modify a unit from the original and say, okay, now it's okay. You replace the heater. On those heaters, most of the time, I'll shut those off. I say, don't use those. They need to be replaced. And this particular seller saying, no, it works fine. Yeah, it may be working fine now, but you're not going to know that it doesn't work fine.
It's a fire danger.
Until you have a fire. So you can argue with your insurance company and burn the house down, and you say, oh, now we need to replace the heater. Just replace the heater. It's just it's unfortunate. It was a design.
And they're out of business, right? You can't get
You can't get any money for it. It's been years and years we've been calling out these heaters, and they still keep coming up. And if you have one of these heaters, if you go on consolidatedheaters.com, you'll see a list of the heaters that are on recall. If you have one of these heaters, just shut your heater off and get a new heater. There's really nothing you can do.
What do you pay for an HVAC system for a 2,000-square-foot house? What are we looking at to reply? No, my father, if he mentioned $5,000-$6,000. Is that in the ballpark?
Definitely in the ballpark, $6,000-$8,000. And it's not just the square footage of the house. A lot of people get stuck on the square footage thing. It's the cubic footage. If you have a house with 10 or 12 foot ceilings, some of these modern houses that have really big open rooms, you have more volume of air to heat and cool, and you're going to need a larger system. So you need to take that into account. It also depends on the amount of south facing windows you have. If you have big sliding glass doors on the south or on the west, and you have a lot of heat coming in during the summer, then you're going to need more air conditioning unit. You may have to go from a 4-ton to a 5-ton just because of your windows and a lack of tinting,
or double pane blinds.
The double pane windows help, things like that. So there's more than just the square footage.
And the duct work, because you could be losing some of that the costly air through leaks in the duct work. It often can be the whole issue of why something seems to be not functioning up to what it should be.
Absolutely. And the new system today, if you replace your system, it actually is required now that you have a duct test, a pressure test, to make sure that your duct system is intact. If it's not intact, you're going to either make the repair or replace that duct system. And that could add a couple $1,000s to the cost of replacement.
Coming up in 15 minutes, how to inspect that duct system, what to look for. And by the way, there are many inaccessible spots of a home or tough to get at, where you're not going to go up there, you're not going to go down there. The professional person is going to do this. How can you trust what they say they see, what they contend needs to be replaced or repaired? And when are you better off replacing rather than repairing? John just gave us a good example with the consolidated heaters, of course. 888-539-2980. Money 101, that's our direct line. At, you can get through to Home Inspector John Wilhelm, 888-539-2980. Let's look at the biggest thing now. After the rains, after wind, we get termite swarms.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And especially, you know, when you have a lot of rain, the water in the ground will drive them out of the ground, and they'll start flying around. And, you know, that's one of the
It's
times.
Amazing when they're flying around, because you don't usually think of a termite flying, but they are.
Right. And all they do is they fly around and they're looking for nice, open, bare wood. And that's the reason of why you want to keep your house well-maintained, well-painted. Termites don't chew through paint. They don't land on paint and start chewing through that. They land on old, dry, you know, rotted wood is good, anything that's exposed. So, you know, if your house is well-maintained and painted, they're just going to go on to another house.
We've got North Hollywood on the line. Linda, Money 101, good day to you, Linda. You're on KFWB. How can we help?
Hi, Bob. Hey, listen, I've had issues with the rain over the weekend. We've got a flat roof, and I've had a roofing contractor out. Obviously, we need to replace the roof. And he's suggesting, it's a flat roof that we have, he's suggesting a rolled composition roof. However, we've heard about a torched down roof, and just need to know the difference.
You know, that's a great question. I really, really like torch down material. The difference is rolled composition is a material that they have to put down with a mastic. Okay, it's rolled out, and there's like a tar compound that sticks the material to the roof. Torch down looks very similar, but the back of the material is a real thick rubber. And as they're rolling the material out, they shoot a flame on that. And as they're rolling it down, it actually melts and sticks to the roof by melting instead of a mastic. And it's a really great bond and a much thicker, heavier material. The labor for the two difference in materials is about the same. And the torch down material costs almost double of what the rolled composition material is. Rolled composition is very cheap material. But the difference between the two, say you may spend an extra $800 or $1,000 on the material, you're going to get a much heavier roof, much more solid roof. It doesn't blow off in the wind. You're not worried about seams lifting up and opening up and drying out in the sun, and your maintenance is very low. So I would suggest the torch down.
But, Linda, you got hit hard by the rain, huh?
Oh, my gosh, so many leaks. Unbelievable. It's interesting why the roofing contractor is recommending the rolled composition versus the torch down. But
it is easier and faster to install. And some guys, if you don't specialize in the torch down, then you just don't do torch down.
I want to get the explanation of exactly what it is. 888-539-2980. 888-539-2980. We're saving you money every day from 10 till 2. This is Money 101 on KFWB, News Talk 980. I'm Bob McCormick.
Money 101 with Bob McCormick. The news you need and the information you can use. Now, here's Bob McCormick.
This is the only place where you'll get money-saving advice every day from 10 to 2 in L.A. and O.C. that is tailor-made for you. We pay more. I'll tell you, whether it's the hourly rate for an auto mechanic or for someone to come to repair a furnace at your house, or you are renting an apartment or buying a house, or we pay more. So that's why we're here, to help you save more. I'm Bob McCormick, your host. John Wilhelm of Valley Home Inspection is here. Let's go to Louie in Palos Verdes. Hey, Louie, Money 101, KFWB, good day to you.
Hey, I have a question for a home inspector. Not too long ago, I bought a home, and I thought I had a great home inspector. Signed off on everything, found a few minor things, and then all of a sudden, about 2 weeks after I closed escrow, I saw the shower was not level, and the water just did not run down the drain. I guess my question is, in the inspections, do they include inspecting that shower?
Yes, they do. And a couple things. That shower, is that the shower on the second floor, or is it on the first floor of the house?
No, it was a single level.
If the you had a termite inspection, and during that inspection, the termite company actually clogs the drain. Usually they put some paper towel or something in there, and they fill up the shower pan. It's called water testing, and they're checking that for leaks. They go under the house or check around the sides to make sure that the pan is not leaking. So that would have been done separately by the termite company. Also, I'm really particular about the angle and the slope of tiles in a shower, and I'm shocked at the amount of high-quality homes that have showers where the tile is sloped to the wall instead of to the drain.
That's a big point. I can't believe it either.
It's
so
it's unbelievable. I don't know how you pay a tile guy. Huh. You water test it. You put water in the shower before you pay the tile guy. And when you see water sitting on the floor or pooling or moving against the wall and staying against the wall, you retile the shower. You don't leave it like that. So, yeah, that is part of what a home inspector would do, not only to water. You know, they're going to test all the faucets and run the water in the shower, but also to look. And also the curb around the shower as you step out of the shower, if you have a curb. I got to say, it's like 10 to 20% of the time, even on brand new $5 or $10 million homes, that curb is sloped away from the shower. So when the water hits the door, the water just runs off into the bathroom floor.
Now, I got to ask you about... You guys are licensed, so, Louis, you felt that the home inspector was derelict in his duty in doing Absolutely. The right thing, right?
That's right.
Well, what does he have? Well, how much time does he have to go after him?
Well, real quick, is the shower actually leaking, or is it just there's standing water in the shower? Is that the problem?
No, it's strictly a slope thing. It's just the shower was not angled at the proper way to have it run down the drain. And then later on, I found out there wasn't even a shower pan in there.
Well, there's no way for the an inspector to see if there's an actual shower pan. A shower pan is a custom designed, a tar type of system that's underneath the tiles. There's no way for him to do that.
There's only so much you can see. You can't tear out the tiles, what you're saying.
And,
termite guy can't really tell if there's termite damage under the tile.
Well, the termite guy also, he's looking for leaks. He doesn't really look for the problem of the shower not sloping properly. I do that, and only because it comes up so often, way more often than you can even believe. And unfortunately, the cure for that is either you get a squeegee and move all the water to the drain every time you take a shower, or you retile the floor of the shower. And the problem is the floor tile of the shower goes on before the wall tiles go on. So it's difficult to just pull out the floor tiles and replace them without either doing a diamond cut around the perimeter. And you're looking at least $300-$500 probably to replace the floor tiles and re-slope them properly. You know,
$400-$500 because you don't want the damage. You don't want the
You don't want the standing water. You're going to create mold and mildew, and you'll eventually get leaks into the wall.
Louis, good luck. Thank you for pointing out a problem that probably a lot of homeowners face. And Mark now, Thousand Oaks, calling KFWB Money 101. Bob with John here. How can we help?
Question. I have a deck up in Lake Arrowhead that has been leaking from snow and rain intrusion over years and years and years. We bought a short sale. And I think I'm going to eventually have to replace the deck. But in the meantime, I found a product called Rescue It. that's a real thick paint. It has silica sand in it. Do you know anything about, can I put that down for a season, and then especially this season where we've gotten so little rain?
Well, I would go ahead. I do know that, and you can use that material, and I would use it temporarily. But, you know, if you have a problem where you're going to be replacing the deck, obviously you don't want to replace it now. So I would do a temporary repair until the middle of the summer when it's completely dry. Sometimes after this type of a rain season, it can be a month before the interior wood of a deck and the framing lumber would actually be completely dry. So you can't really go in there and dig in and just rip it out and do a real fast repair. You want to wait till that completely dries out. So do a temporary repair with that.
And unfortunately, we got to hope for more rain and that it takes a lot longer for it to dry out, actually, to benefit Southern California's drought condition. Bill is in L.A., Money 101 on KFWB. I'm Bob McCormick, and you're on Money 101, Bill. John, go ahead.
Well, thank you very much. I've been in my house since 1973. The house was built in 1931. And we have an insulation in part of the older house called vermiculite. And vermiculite is a product that, to my understanding, was outlawed because it has some asbestos in it. And I was wondering what what John would say if he looked at a house and saw that in the attic, as far as what you need to do for safety. I've been living with it for over 40 years now, and I've not heard anybody talk about it. I found it on the web. I did have somebody do a test on it, and they came back with it less than 1% asbestos. This was a product that was used intensely many, many years ago. It was mined. The product itself isn't the problem, but there, in the mine, there was some asbestos that got mixed.
Is it 1%? Is that something to be concerned about?
Well, you know, 1%, you know, it doesn't sound like much, but let's say if you have 100 or 200 pounds of insulation in the attic, that means you have a couple of pounds of asbestos. So, you know, if you're not up in the attic, and vermiculite is not the type of an insulation that really creates a dust. You almost pretty much have to kind of roll around in it and swim in it in order to breathe the fibers from it. But it is called out in a home inspection because it can have asbestos. And as long as you're not breathing it and disturbing it, that's not really a problem. If you want to have it removed, and if it's in a small portion of the rest of the original part of the house, you need to have an asbestos abatement contractor go in. And what they'll do is they'll vacuum that out and do a complete cleanup. And that really, you know, it's something that's going to help your future value, because anything asbestos related is something that kind of scares buyers.
And we're going to get into the cost of it, what you can expect to pay, and while you may be better off doing it now than waiting. John Wilhelm is with us, 888-539-2980, 888-539-2980, on Money 101. Still to come, our home inspector has a leaky roof. How could this possibly happen to John Wilhelm? Well, you know what? Rain is a big equalizer. So, even the best of roof jobs can sprout leaks. What do you do about it? And more on the products that can give you a quick fix and get you through until things dry out and you can make the repairs. That's coming up on Money 101. I'm Bob McCormick on KFWB. News Talk 980.
KFWB traffic brought to you by McDonald's. Checking the slow spots. Golden State Freeway really jammed right now. This would be the southbound side of the 5 from the 134 Ventura Freeway down to the East LA Interchange. Santa Monica Freeway heading to Santa Monica, very slow. Westbound 10, nothing but brake lights from the East LA Interchange to Overland. Ventura Freeway 101 eastbound, you're tapping brakes from DeSoto to the 405 Freeway Junction. Westbound 91 before McKinley in Corona and Axton. Here's clearing off the right-hand shoulder, but the West 91 slow going from Magnolia to the 71 freeway. 15 northbound through the Inland Empire, that's jammed up heading to Corona. from Wyrick Road to the 91 Riverside Freeway. In 2013, your Southern California McDonald's owners have given back more than $500,000 in grants for education, health programs, the arts, and even parks for children of all abilities. And with your gracious support, McDonald's will continue to help make dreams come true every day. Be sure to get updates on your smartphone. Visit KFWB.com.
Money 101 with Bob McCormick. The news you need and the information you can use. Now, here's Bob McCormick.
This is your money program in LA and OC. Now look, we talked about the heating and air conditioning unit of a home, how important it is, and expensive, of course, if you have to replace it. So repairs, definitely you want to make them if you can to get more life out of it. And when we normally think of what we buy for our homes, whether it is a heating unit, heating, air conditioning, or a roof, you know, we like to think that it's going to last as long as that mortgage, the 30 years, or in some cases, lifetime. John Wilhelm of Valley Home Inspection has one of these lifetime roofs called the Presidential Composition Roof.
Right. It's the best roof you can buy. It's the one that really the only roof that I recommend for a composition shingle roof. The one I have is a 40-year warranty. You can actually get one now that's a double layer lifetime warranty. And I've had my roof for 25 years and very well installed, clean, very professional job. And Saturday morning we get up. Roof was leaking like crazy.
You saw it in the ceiling?
Right.
Inside the house.
Dripping from the ceiling.
Dripping from the ceiling.
Like 1 foot away from a grand piano. Whoa. And antiques all around. And right in the middle, there's a puddle on our wood floors.
Oh, my goodness.
And if we wouldn't have been home, literally would have cost probably thousands of dollars in damage. The floors would have buckled, and you know the mold, the mildew,
wow.
Everything else. It's just crazy. I would have bet $1 million that my roof will not leak ever because of the high quality and the installation.
So what went wrong? How does a roof develop a leak in this type of composition? I mean, we know if you have the tile, we've got a tile, which is also supposed to be a lifetime roof. And if a tile gets misplaced or broken,
it's going to leak.
It could leak.
It's going to leak.
But what would cause your leak?
On my roof and then this material, there's basically no possible way for water to get through the material. So it's not the material itself. It always boils down to the installation or a defect in the installation. On my roof, the valley sections that I have, which is where the two angles of the roof come together, I have what they call valley metal. It's a metal flashing that runs down the roof. And evidently, when the roof material was cut, when it was trimmed, they use a sharp razor knife to trim the material. And the contractor actually cut into the metal flashing. So it made a little slice in the metal flashing.
You did an investigation of your own inspection to find this out, you're saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Now I haven't.
You did not know this prior to the
There
rain.
Was no way to detect this because what the guy did, he evidently knew that he cut into it. When you're slicing the material, you're running the knife down that metal. And it's galvanized steel, but it's still, you're able to cut into it. So evidently he knew that he did that. So what he did was he put a little smear of tar on the little slice. Well, 25 years later, that little piece of tar dried up, fell off, and there was still evidence that there was some there, but it wasn't on the actual slice. And it's very simple repair of just putting either another smear of tar. I'm going to end up probably epoxying it.
Okay, now,
so it's a more permanent.
You have told us that if you do develop a leak, one thing you can do if it's raining, you cannot expect the tar to stick and to be able to do a more long-lasting fix. You can do wet patch application.
Wet patch is a material. It's a tar material. It's made by Henry's, and it comes in a can. I suggest everybody to have at least a quart of that laying around the house. And in my application, if I would have been able to see where that leak was, I could have repaired it in 2 seconds. I ended up having to put plastic over the house and leave it on the house for 3 days until it stopped raining.
I can't believe that. Home inspector, you got plastic on your roof. I mean, usually when I see that, I say, oh, man, that is a stupid stupid homeowner who didn't know
to fix the roof
before the rain.
And at the same time, I'm in the middle of like 20 phone calls on Saturday and Sunday because of roof problems and roof leaks. And, you know, I need a roofer. Unfortunately, right now, you know, after the rains, it's very difficult to get a roofer, especially for a little patch. And that's why if you use this wet patch, the wet patch will actually stick in the rain. So if you know where the leak is, like around a flashing or a vent stack or something like that, you can go up and just smear it around and you'll stop the leak right away without having to put plastic over the house. And again, you really have a hard time finding a roofer to get to the house now because they're replacing roofs and they just don't have time to come over and you know, fix little minor leaks, you know, for a few hundred dollars.
Okay, you're looking out, if you have an attic and access to the, you know, the entire roof line, you're in good shape. A lot of people have very limited space. We have a very limited space, so, but we should be looking for any stains on the wood. I mean, that would that be common as long as it's not dripping or as long as we haven't seen water stain from that top rafter onto the floor of the attic?
Well, the problem is up in the attic, a lot of times when the house is being built, before the roof goes on, you'll have condensation that's on the roof and it's going to cause stains and those stains don't go away. So just going up in the attic and looking for stains really isn't going to do it. What you want to do is go up either during a rain or very soon after a rain and looking for wet wood. You know, it's really, you know, it's the fact that you have stains is not an indication that you have a problem. So, you know, that's
okay. Stains, not necessarily absolutely the problem. A roof, the cost of a roof, the cost of a furnace. We're going to explain it all. The 10 most deadly conditions in your home. Heating systems. 30 brands are known to overheat and cause fires. We just mentioned one, the Consolidated. Electric panels, which can malfunction, short out, and cause fires. Water heaters, the fireplace. I had the fireplace inspection, so I got the royal treatment on that and how dangerous that can be with a gas fireplace if it's not vented properly. Asbestos, still out there in ductwork and ceilings. The pool. And by the way, a lot of pools were overflowing when heavy rains came.
A lot of people don't have, and an older pool, you don't have an overflow drain. And what that does is the overflow drain keeps the water level at the proper level so that the skimmer will work properly. And when it rains, if you don't have that, your water is going to fill up to the top. What you have to do is you're going to take a bucket, basically, and bail out your pool. Now, you'd be surprised.
The bucket brigade.
You can take a 5-gallon bucket. You'd be surprised. You can take the water down like 3-4 inches in maybe 10, 15 minutes with a 5-gallon bucket. But your pool's not going to work properly. It's not going to skim if the water is all the way to the top of the deck. So you need to lower that to about the middle of the tile where it's you know, the skimmer's going to work properly.
All right, lead paint, obviously one of the big concerns for people with kids because they might be eating those paint chips. Sanding old paint is also not the answer if it has lead in the paint, right?
Right. You definitely want to have that tested. They have a very simple test you can get. Home Depot, Lowe's has this little, it looks like a little magic marker, and you break the tip and it becomes wet from a chemical inside, and you just walk around the house and rub it on anything that's painted, and if the tip turns purple, you have lead paint. And depending on where you have it and the condition of it, you would either paint over it or you would have it removed. Most likely you're going to paint over it.
And as we move on to the ninth most deadly condition in your home, guardrails, these are the decks, the retaining walls, the window seats that can be a dangerous condition, once again, for kids or adults who might fall over a rail when they get a little tipsy.
Unbelievable the amount of homes that have guardrails and handrails that don't comply with code. I would say half of the homes that I find with guardrails and handrails that in some way they don't comply. The biggest thing that really bugs me, and these are even conditioned in brand new homes, brand new $10 million homes, you'll have a balcony on the third floor of a hillside home, and the guardrails are horizontal. We call those ladders.
Yeah.
It's a ladder, okay? You don't put horizontal bars on a third floor balcony. You put vertical bars so you can't get your foot into it, and a child can't climb over. Children learn to climb those at the park, and they go out. You know, you have visiting kids out on a deck, and you're watching them. You know, and I have stories of fatalities from people, you know, that have lost children on decks and guardrails, and it's really sad. They're still being approved. And you see these all over the city. Sometimes, you know, 10, 15-story buildings in Beverly Hills, condos that have horizontal rails on the balconies.
Something you can look for when you drive by. You can just keep driving. If that's something that you're looking for, you're inspecting a condo, why go inside? You see something like that. 10th, non-tempered glass. Now, this is window and shower doors that do not have tempered glass because it can shatter in big pieces, of course, and cause a serious injury. So,
yes.
Now, is any legitimate contractor using non-tempered glass?
No, you're not using using non-tempered glass now in an area where it's required. But you still can get non-tempered glass if you have a window in the middle of a family room or something. It's not required to be tempered glass. If you're less than 18 inches to the floor and you have a solid glass panel, that's required to be tempered glass. If you're above a shower, it needs to be tempered glass. A shower door needs to be tempered glass. If you're at the bottom of a landing of a stairway where you could fall and push yourself against that glass, that's required to be tempered glass.
So, all right, you want the 10 most deadly conditions in your home. You want to remember what we just told you? We're going to post it on the Money 101 Info Bank later today at KFWB.com. I'm Bob McCormick. He is John Wilhelm, ValleyHomeInspection.com, and a regular contributor that helps you save money on the most expensive purchase, your home, and particularly to protect it in wet weather, hot weather, and under all sorts of conditions. You're listening to Money 101. I'm Bob McCormick. This is KFWB, News Talk 980, home of the Los Angeles Clippers, and home to Money 101 every day from 10 until 2.
That was a good hour.
That was a great hour.